Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where an actual garbage man plays games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. Every week, I randomly pick a game submitted by the community to play, dissect, then discuss. But honestly, it's just an awesome excuse for me to play 20-year-old games in my free time, in my spare time. I am your host, the man of the city, Robert Downey Jr. Bacon Cheeseburger. Woo! Last week, we had some fun adding some more segments to make up for the short review of NFL 2K. However, this week is more back to the usual business around Super Garbage Day Incorporated. As always, you can catch my first impression video of the week's game in the show notes to put a face to a game's name. Unfortunately, due to the sheer bugginess of this week's game, I was unable to capture a first impression video after many, many tries. So, I added a link to the game's intro in its place. Feel free to subscribe to the YouTube channel for future Super Garbage Day videos. YouTube.com, put in Super Garbage Day Podcast, and ride the snake. We have a new backlog eternal poll on the Discord, and this month's theme is Games I'm Too Afraid to Beat, which those games are Alien Isolation, Outlast, Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, and The Evil Within. Voting is open to the public. Just join the Discord. The link will be in the show notes. Find the poll in the Backlog Eternal channel and cast your vote via emoji. And whatever wins, I have to play to completion. The Super Garbage Bowl will have its finale released this weekend. Finally. Okay. Then I can move on to the next episode of Retro Deep Cuts, which is going to be titled The Best Sega Genesis Soundtracks. And then after that, a review on Backlog Eternal of last month's game, which is Golden Axe Warrior on the Sega Master System. Everything I just mentioned, those shows are all Patreon exclusives. You can join for only $2. We'll get you all that unlocked, plus all these bonus episodes cataloging down to like 30. We're over 30 now. 30 episodes on the Patreon. That's a good deal, man. $2. That's not even, you can't get anything for that price anymore. Can't even get stick of gum, you know? Can't get a stick of gum. All right, I'm not going to fly off the deep end here and start getting weird with the voice. So let's move on to the retro question of the week. Rancorous Foe, my buddy Mike, asks, what game do you love but underperformed in sales or was even considered a failure? He goes on to state, mine would be Gravity Rush 2. I loved it. But servers were turned off for online content in less than 2 years of its launch. Yikes. I've never played Gravity Rush. MK Keith came in and said, Okami, such an awesome game that has somewhat of a following, but now it took 20 years to get there. Yeah. Just like, I mean, think about that. I think the same thing happened to Symphony of the Night, except it didn't take 20 years. Vanfernal pops in and just says, I'm still waiting on a sequel to Days Gone. So my answer is Coldicept. I bring up this game a lot. It's a very bizarre, Magic the Gathering meets Monopoly board game that appeared on the PS2 and the Xbox 360. It's super addictive. It's really fun. I'm not really, you know what's weird about this game? It's so good. I'm not into any of those things. Like, I'm not really into like card battle games or any of that stuff. And this game's like addictive as hell. But I mean, there's nothing in it. They let it die on the vine. And it was a perfect type of game to be made into a mobile game or whatever they wanted to do. So I guess it's best they didn't do that because that's the kind of stuff I hate. So maybe it's best that Coldicept is just ended where it did. But I miss it. Coldicept. C-U-L-D-C-E-P-T. Yo. Salty Boy also adds to the retro question of the week asking, what is the most influential game that would now be considered retro that you grew up with? And Salty Boy goes on to add, for myself, it's a toss-up between Super Smash Bros. Melee, as it was the first game I've 100, Halo 2, because I played through the main campaign with my best friend, who is also my best man, at least 40 times. You've been married 40 times? Dang. That friend stuck through you. 40 marriages. Wow. Holy moly. Or Skies of Arcadia Legends, because I got it on a depressive whim when friends ditched me for the weekend and my mom gave me some money to go rent a game. Skies of Arcadia is dope. I remember playing that originally on the Dreamcast, but I think the ones you, I don't know if the Legends is the one that came out on GameCube or not? I don't know. I saw Skies and thought, I don't know, pirates are cool. And then was whisked into one of the most creative worlds I've seen at the time, and some of the best music I've ever heard. Agreed. Rev, also in the community, answers a question by saying, for me, it's Sonic 1, 2, and Sonic and Knuckles. We used to race levels, do deathless runs, and see how far we can get. Really spark competition and a love of games. Man, now I have Green Hill Zone music stuck in my head. You were speedrunning games before people were speedrunning games, Rev. That's dope. My answer, and I hate to be a broken record here to everybody, but it's going to be Earthbound. Because it gave me this massive sense of wanting to travel and explore the world at a very young age, which actually led to my nomadic, like, spirit later on. And then I ended up actually traveling the world in my 20s. And I honestly think it's because of Earthbound, because my grandma Ross, she had the golden touch. So thank God she had really bad eyesight and picked the biggest box she could see at the KB Toys, which happened to be Earthbound. All right, let's move on to our next segment, which is, what are you buying? Recently, I bought Sleeping Dogs on the Xbox 360. I also bought Alpha Protocol, since it's delisted and it's super cheap. And also picked up another copy of Eternal Sonata. That was also, as you saw maybe on the Discord, that was very undervalued and a great game. And I've been itching for like a chill JRPG to come home to and decompress with. So I think I'm going to start Eternal Sonata soon. On my YouTube channel, Super Garbage Day Podcast on YouTube, I just uploaded myself opening a lot of 40 plus Xbox games that I bought locally. And I added up all the values. So check the show notes for all of these links. Woo! Let's bring our dear friend and the master of the waltz, Van Fernal, in for this week's game, which is Catechumen on the PC. Let's go.
Yeah!
Catechumen is a 2000 first-person shooter game with Christian themes developed by publisher Enlightening Software. Set during the time of the persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire, the player controls the Catechumen, a novice Christian being trained before taking part in secret gatherings. Traversing 18 levels, they seek to free their mentor and fellow Christians from captivity. The player uses the 8 swords of the spirit to defeat the demons and convert possessed Roman soldiers to Christianity, also killing lions along the way. Faith stands in as the character's health. It is a real weird game. Let's bring in our boy Van and let's get her done. Himself, how you doing today?
I'm good, Beerus. How's it going, man? Thank you for having me.
It goes well. I feel very enlightened this week. I'm dealing with a household full of children who I think all have the flu, so my sleep has been low. I have somehow dodged it. I'm a little stuffy, but I think like lately our temperatures are dropping so drastically, so forgive me if I sound like really stuffed up. But I didn't get it, so I'm a little tired, but I'm happy. I've been having a decent week.
Well, I don't like being a pessimist, but usually it's not that you didn't get it. It's that
Yet. Don't put that on me.
No, man, but I hope.
I really thought at this point I would have it, to be completely honest.
Yeah, well, I hope everyone gets better and that your immune system hasn't failed you quite yet.
Not quite yet.
Well, then again, you think about it, you deal with like garbage every day. I think that boosts your immune system something crazy. I'm not even like joking around, man.
No, it's true. It's really true. Nobody ever gets sick at my job. It's because you're constantly inhaling terrible, terrible germs. So it's something they told me about when they first got hired on. They were like, you'll watch this. After a year, you won't get sick as much. Now that we've said all this, though, guaranteed. Like tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and be throwing up.
Man, we jinxed it.
Always. How are you doing? Have you been playing anything this week? You got any new games you've been playing or old games you've been playing?
Actually, all of the above. So after I told you that to give The Messenger a try, I decided to give that game another like try. And I'm generally enjoying it as much as before. Also, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter VI. It's one of the best fighting game releases in modern history. Like, it's pretty well balanced. The online netcode is great. It feels like you're just playing like in the couch and everything. And the newest game I'm playing is actually Lies of P. My brother got that one from me. He's like, hey, man, you got Lies of P? He's like, no. He's like, well, you got it now. He sent it to me on Steam because he knows Bloodborne is my favorite game. So to say that game is derivative of Bloodborne will be a massive understatement because it's...
Really?
It's blatantly like a... It's a blatant tribute to Bloodborne. It's not even hiding it, but so far, I'm very impressed because I'm not a big fan of Soulsborne games because they usually miss the mark. But this one, it's... If you squint, you will think FromSoft make this one themselves.
You know, I wonder if this is the result of them just not putting a PC port out.
It wouldn't surprise me because, look... I don't know what Sony's thinking, but look, just a 60-frame patch and most of the Bloodborne fans will be happy, you know. But at this point, there's like it's been radio silence. So I think someone said, hey, Bloodborne needs a sequel, so let's do our own thing. And it's literally Bloodborne with the Pinocchio mythos. It's very weird, okay. But somehow it works. It's like a steampunk version of Pinocchio. It's crazy, but... They actually pull it off.
I heard about this game, but I didn't know anything about it. So that's interesting. I might have to look into that. I mean, I only have a Steam Deck, and then I only have an Xbox 360.
Well, so far, the game has been... It feels greatly optimized. And pretty much, like, on PC, I'm getting a lock 120 FPS, and the console ports are doing very well. So I don't see why it wouldn't run... on the Xbox. It's actually on Game Pass too, so if you have that, you should have it for free. So
yeah, awesome, good to know. No, lately as far as Xbox concerned, I do have Game Pass, but I've just been collecting 360 games like a madman because I feel like we're about to hit the curve of it's that season where the system's about to turn 20 and everybody who grew up with it now wants all those games and wants the system, wants to buy back all that nostalgia. And Xbox 360 is my second favorite console of all time because I spent the most time with it outside of like my childhood and different retro consoles. So I've been tracking down a bunch of games. And what did I just pick up today? Alpha Protocol. So,
yeah, I saw you recently had a video. You got like 40 games.
Oh, yeah, that was a completely separate thing. But yeah, that was a friend in town who does a lot of reselling said that I just hit him up. I was like, hey, do you got 360 games? He said, yeah. Okay, but you want to just sell them to me in a lot? And then just threw a number at him. He's like, okay, cool. It saves him on having it because he sells through eBay. So like, it's just way better for him to offload. And then like for one price, if it's actually going to somebody who's probably going to collect them and keep them. But
yeah. And the thing is like now that the digital store is closing, right?
Yeah, July of next year.
Yeah, so those old games are going to start... The prices are going to start going crazy eventually.
Especially with the ones that aren't backwards compatible. There's no other way to play them. So if it's like Xbox 360 exclusive and not backwards compatible, guaranteed. I mean, that's the recipe for something gaining crazy value and becoming a weird $100, $200 game. So, and we're talking hundreds of those right now that are like, as of this recording, are like anywhere from $10 to $30. Crazy. I'm buying sealed copies of things. It's nuts. It reminds me of back when this happened with GameCube, like 5 to 7 years ago. I saw this happening with that system where it was real cheap back then to get the systems to get the games. Now it's like impossible. So nostalgia sells, man. Hey, if you're listening to this right now, trust me, go grab some 360 games. Unless you don't care for the console, then you can do what you want. But if you're a fan at all, go grab an old console, go buy one and grab your favorite games because it's going to be hard to get them here. And like, I think within 2 to 5 years, it's going to be hard to come across them without deep pockets personally. Anyways, speaking of deep pockets, today's game is Christian themed. Oh my God. That's the worst way. I just like lost so many people. So I'm not, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a spiritual person. But I have no problem with whatever people believe in. But whoever created this game had to have had deep pockets when they found out the budget.
Actually, funny story about that. I did a little research after that, and it turns out the person who developed this game, this is according to my Wikipedia research, but apparently this person played Doom and Quake, and they were very conflicted about those games since they were like an ordained reverend or something. And the thing is, you know, Doom and Quake are very like, you know, there's a lot of satanic imagery, violence and all that. So
paganism,
this
yeah.
Yeah, so this person have been trying to make a different game, like a Christian game, more positive, but didn't get any funding. But then, you know, the Columbine tragedy happened, and a lot of it was blamed on violent video games. And that's when the person got the funding to actually get this game off the ground.
Yeah. What's really crazy, too, is there is a map file that one of the shooters from Columbine actually, he was like making his own Doom levels. And I think that's where the mainstream media and the government stepped in and started being like, oh, this is the cause of like violence and school shootings. But that file in itself, I guess, is like, I don't know if it's lost media, but apparently it's a hard thing to find. And I think this is also frontlined somebody like this developer, an ordained minister, wanting to get funding to make a non-violent first-person shooter. and they got the funding. Because if you really think about it, $830,000 to make this game, but it's all probably could be written off because it's going to a church.
Yeah, I know. So, I think it's better not to look too much into the finances of this game.
I'm not. All right, well, let's get into it. What are your first impressions of Catechumen?
Well, okay. So first I have to lead with saying, you know, last time you had me here, you invited me to play a rare, obscure PC game with a lot of, like, religious imagery and, you know, some deep meanings into it. So I was when you invited me to this episode, I was like, cool, it'd be awesome to just talk about a regular game, because that talking about that game's exhausting. So you're like, hey man, you want to come to the episode, do an episode? I'm like, all right, cool. And you're like, hey, this is the game. I'm like, son of a, I'm like, okay. I'm like, and I read it all wrong. I'm like, what the hell is Katie Chum? I'm like,
Katie Chum. It's just all me too. I actually had to phonetically spell it out before I ended that episode. I kept saying like California Tech Human. What is this?
Catechumen. So first of all, I need to ask you, was this a Julia pick?
No, I actually don't remember who this was. I tried looking back on seeing who added this, and I could not find it, but I know it was somebody. I think it's like a person in the Patreon or in the community. Who I'm not sure if they're in the Discord very often or not. Maybe they're just like, you know, they enjoy the show and they add games and just want to hear it, which is totally fine. But I do want whoever, I should have looked back. You know, I need to start actually putting the names to the games. I should have been doing this from the beginning.
All right. So my first impressions, like, first of all, a little like, for those who don't know what a catechumen is, according to Webster, it's a convert to Christianity, receiving training in doctrine and discipline before baptism. So it's someone who is basically taking, reading the scripture and taking classes to get baptized. With that said, this game, the opening movie is amazing. Like, it starts with a guy with a toga playing hide and seek with a Roman soldier, because that's the best way I can describe it, because he's getting chased, but it doesn't look like he's running for his life.
There's clearly no motion capture studio and whoever in lightning, which is literally the letter N and then dash lightning, like in lightning. I get the pun, is the developer. And yeah, motion capture was not their strongest point, it would appear.
Yeah.
He runs like a mannequin a stop motion mannequin.
Roman Christian gets caught by the Roman. He looks He looks disappointed, man. He doesn't like, if I was like, this guy's like chasing me, you know, because of my beliefs, I'd be a little more scared. But this guy looks like, oh, man. You
know? I know, he kind of puts his hands on his head almost. He doesn't do that, but that's the feeling I get. He's like, all right.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, man. Okay, you caught me. So then the Roman puts him in a cell with Satan. Because I'm like, man, this escalated quickly, man. They were like, I'm running on the street and then suddenly I'm in a cell with like the devil himself. And then he's writing a letter to the catechumen, who I assume it's the guy you control, saying, you know,
it's you.
Yeah. So he's like, I hope this letter finds you. And he's like in a very low level below like a Roman Colosseum or something. And he throws the letter out the window and it just flies off. So I'm assuming you find the letter and that's where your journey starts. But if you know, if you guys have a chance, like look up this game on YouTube, because you have to see it for yourself. I was like, my sides were splitting like while I was watching that.
Oh, I was laughing out loud when I first played this game. I fired it up. I had no idea what this was other than reading like the Wikipedia description last week. And then when I fired it up, I was like, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. Because that opening scene or that movie is so funny and so, it's like, it's so bad, it's good kind of situation. And I think it's really funny that when he's writing that letter, there's a part in the background where Satan opens the door behind him, kind of like your cellmate came back. You know, like he's in the background all like brooding and like, hey, it's time to go.
Yeah, it was like, it was kind of like, I think you dropped the soap kind of moment.
Yeah. And then he throws like he just throws the paper and it somehow finds its way out of like the 14th level of a dungeon via some wind channels out to who knows. I mean, I don't understand the story. They piece it. If it's that happens that early to begin with, I wasn't really expecting a lot moving forward.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, out of the gate, I was glad I played this game just to witness the intro. I'm like, okay, I needed this in my life.
It is funny. I was telling Julia, I was like, this thing had me laughing so bad. Like, you have to see this intro. It's terrible, but it's terribly good. So
yeah, it loops around to being like from god awful to just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, my first impression. I mean, you sound like you installed this a lot better than I did, but I could not get this installed initially, and then I found out a way to. Then I tried to record a first impression video, and it would crash OBS.
Oh yeah, no.
So then I tried to use a secondary. What was it? FAPS or Fraps? Fraps, and not FAPS, but Fraps. I tried to use that to just record my gameplay, and then I was going to narrate over it. But then when I loaded Fraps, it crashed the game, and I'm like, oh my god. This game does not want to be played whatsoever without anything else in the background.
Yeah, no, the thing is, it's one of those games that just refuses to use to be in a windowed mode, like no matter what.
I know. I tried so hard.
You can't alt tab. You can't. And if you actually get out of the game, like in any way, it will crash. So it's just the hardware. It's just some modern hardware doesn't play well with it. Also, I think this game has a massive memory leak. Every time, the longer you play, the choppier the frame rate like gets. And it's crazy. I was playing Lies of Pi 120 FPS, and this game I was like pushing 15. It was crazy.
Well, I thought from my first impression, they had like really average, you know, first-person shooter graphics for its age. It felt like it was going too fast. And I think maybe that's because it's like set to auto-run, and I think it's only supposed to run at 50 frames per second. I'm wondering if this is like a PAL. Originally, it was released as like a PAL version of something.
Yeah, it might
make sense. Wouldn't make sense on a computer, but.
But actually, the guy who made this is from, they're from Oregon.
That's right. Yeah, Bend. Or I think, yeah. Bend. But somewhere here in Oregon. And I guess they just didn't understand hertz, but, or refresh rates. But yeah, it was, I was having a hard time initially because what I did notice really quickly, though, is that the voice work is really silly. The game looks and feels like it's a joke.
Yeah, the voiceover, it's like clearly probably the same developers, and then their voice is like all muffled, like, oh yeah,
probably
yeah,
the janitor. Yeah, but yeah, and then but the game looks and feels like a joke.
No, and the thing is, like, out of the gate, so the design of like how it looks, actually, you know, you can tell what it's going for. You can clearly tell it's Rome and everything. But when you look something like the position of the Roman soldiers, they're like puffing their chest and they're like slightly staggered. The physics for pushing the boxes, I can't help but feel that this started off as a Half-Life mod, because the position of the Roman
mod.
It might be, but the thing is, like, I don't know if you remember the NPCs on the arena Half-Life. They have like this kind of like staggered idle position. That's almost exactly how the Romans look, as if they
took the T-pose.
Not really a T-pose. The Half-Life ones, they kind of like have one foot slightly in front of the other, like puff chest. So, and then what do they say? What are you looking at or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you first start, yeah, it's like you go up to them and then the first line of dialogues you get from the Roman soldiers is, what are you looking at? And then you go to the other Roman soldier and he says the same thing, but with a different voice actor. He goes, what are you looking at? And they just keep repeating it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll say it over each other. And I'm like, oh, I'm in for a treat. So that was that. Let's talk about how to play the game. This game, you start it. It's your run of the mill first person shooter. You either select a new game or load or set the options and difficulty, and you're treated to a praying load screen. You are thrown in just like you are with most first person shooters, via or a la Doom or Blood or Heretic. This is clearly, I think it's really Quake inspired. I got really hard Quake vibes from it. But man, the controls are a mess. You have to map them. They're like set to the original, like, just they're not W
ASD. Yeah. Yeah. They're you move with the arrow keys. Like, what is this? Wolfenstein? Like, it's and this game is like from 2000, which is the year of Deus Ex.
Our Lord.
Soldier of Fortune was that year too, you know. So when you look at the
Half-Life came out a year before it. So yeah, there was It should have had better standards as far as controls, at least. I think that's the easiest thing to probably program. Like, I could program baseline controls probably in a game, and I'm not a programmer.
Yeah, so, but the actual gameplay is about as cookie-cutter FPS as you can get. You know, you run, you jump, you crouch, you shoot. That's pretty much it, and it's a pretty standard.
Yeah, and it's funny how you gain your weapons and how you, like... traverse levels, because you don't use guns in this, but you kind of do. So I saw they didn't know what they were doing. They were needing to they didn't want to use guns because of Columbine, obviously, and they want to get this funded, and it's a Christian-based game, so they decided to use swords that shoot lasers, and instead of killing men,
you want me to explain how you actually get the swords?
Oh yes, the Joe Swanson angel. Yes.
Yeah. So you just walk in, and then like out of nowhere, this really like buff angel pops out of nowhere. He kind of talks like Arnold.
And he skipped leg day.
Yeah, and he's like got really skinny legs, and he's like, "Got to go, man. If you had to go, you need the sword." And he gives you a sword, and then he's like, but violence is not always the answer. And you're like, okay, fine. And I'm like, I got the sword. I said, okay, so those, what are you looking at? Like soldiers, they're going to get them now. I'm like, they're going to get destroyed in the name of the Lord. So
you probably tried to stab them too, didn't you?
Yeah, that was what I intended to do. But now you can proceed and tell them what happens when you shoot the soldiers.
So when you shoot the soldiers with your holy sword, if they're defeated, they fall to their knees and start praying. And it says, hallelujah, like at like volume 100. Like, it's louder than anything else in the game. And I was like, there's no way this is really how you kill people in the game.
Yeah, they just like, you hear that, hallelujah, and then they just kneel and then stay there like completely still. And you're like, oh, okay.
And then like a beam of light hits them from the top. And you're like, you've saved them with the power of a gun sword. So,
yeah, it's like, that's it's
aggressively trying not to be violent.
Yeah, with that said, I started playing this game in normal, and holy crap, this game, the AI is absolutely brutal. I have to go back to the fledgling, which is the lowest difficulty, and I still got wrecked. The thing is, like, the soldiers, when they see you, the AI just bolt straight towards you. Like, and the sword shoots. Yeah, the gun blade. See, like this, they did it before. No, Final Fantasy did it first. Either way, it kind of shoots. If you remember Quake 2, how slow your pea shooter shot, that's about as fast how the sword is. And you need to hit the soldiers at least 3 times with really bad controls. And these guys are just doing a mad sprint. So more often than not, they're going to grab you. And after they grab you and take some health away, they turn around and ask for reinforcement. That's usually when you kill them. But if 2 soldiers grab you once, it's instant game over.
That's how they actually attack you, too. They just hold you. They hold you and look at you. And it's not even health. It's called faith. Your bar is not a health bar. It's a faith bar. And you refill it by finding scriptures on the ground that you go over, and it refills your faith bar. And then it shows you the scripture in the corner that it expects you to read in the heat of battle. And, but they only have like 3 lines, those Roman soldiers, which is, what are you looking at? And like, the food down here is giving me gas, and, oh, this dungeon stinks. And that's it, man.
Like, yeah. And the thing is, like,
it's the same guy.
So pretty much this is a game where you absolutely have to save scum the crap out of it. You have to quick save every single step, because the moment you run into 2 Roman soldiers, you're dead. There's no way you're going to kill both of them, at least with the first pea shooter you have. So you have to lure them, kill them one by one, like, convert them. This is a non-violent game. Let's make that distinction. But pretty much, it's just brutal, like, from the get-go.
It's also, I read that you're supposed to set it to 50 frames per second. And that's why it runs so crappy at first. I guess when people were doing this for games done quick, they would set the refresh rate to 50, because otherwise it's going faster than it's supposed to. And that's why people were getting hit super quickly. Like, especially when you encounter enemies that shoot projectiles, like the bats or the demons or whatever later on. It seems like you just see them and it hits you.
Yeah. So
it's just bad coding.
Yeah. Another thing is if the frame rate is above 50, there's a game-breaking bug where the angel, after he stops talking, he just, like, stays floating there, and he never gives you weapons. So I actually had to go to my NVIDIA, like, panel and cap the frame rate there to make sure it didn't go above so I can actually play the game.
That must have been a funny moment for a lot of people. They're just standing there awkwardly as the angel's floating up and down. You're just looking at each other, and you're like, okay, where's the new sword? Because all the weapons in the game are swords or spear, and they all shoot. They all act like guns. Yeah. Like, there's literally a machine gun sword that is like multiple swords in a circle that spin around and shoot lasers. They tried so hard to not put guns in the game.
And the thing is, like, you can actually, for like, once you reach level 2, so you get a second sword, which is the machine gun sword, and then you actually start finding like little imp demons that shoot at you, so the enemy variety starts going up. Then the third sword, it's clearly the rail gun from Quake 2. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. I was waiting for the sniper sword to just pop up with like a crosshair that looks like actually literally is a cross. That would have been. I mean, this. I wouldn't put it past this game to be that on the nose, to like have a sniper sword with the actual crucifix as like the crosshair.
No, and the thing, when you look at it, like, there's actually a lot of weapons in this game. I think there's like...
There is.
But then I realized this game has 18 stages, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. There's no way.
Luckily, the game actually gave up on me after I got to about stage 3. and it would no longer reload. Every time I tried to load it, it would just crash automatically. And then I deleted it completely and re-downloaded it and opened it. And it played for like 1 second and then crashed. And then when I finally got it to work again, my save file was gone. And I'm like, F this, dude. Like,
so
you sons of guns. So I honestly played like probably, to be completely honest, about 30 minutes of this game. And then I just did a bunch of research on it. I watched like a good solid playthrough, and it gets pretty ridiculous. I mean, there's bosses. It's Christian Quake.
Yeah, pretty much. The thing is, I actually made it to level 6. I put in some time on this thing. I put hours on it. And it's actually very interesting that the stages, how they play, it's actually pretty... there's a lot of variety here. Like level 5 is a Colosseum. You fight a lions. There's different.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's different gates that you go down, and there's challenges and items you have to get. So they genuinely try. Like the game, the quality might not really be there, but you can tell they were trying.
They were especially 1998. You know, at a time when first-person shooters were like all the hot mess. But yeah, I guess the lions weren't able to be converted to Christianity because you just straight kill them. They just die.
Oh yeah, no, it's like
they just fall over to the side. I'm like, oh, okay. I was expecting to see a lion kneeling and like praying. I think that would have just been, I would have been sent off the deep end at that point. I would have been laughing so hard I would have lost. I don't know. I would have hurt, my kidneys would have hurt.
Yeah.
At that point.
Also, in this story, like it's the Romans are flat out possessed by the devil, according to the lore. It's not just like the regular like persecution that actually happens. These guys are like possessed. you're cleansing them with the gun sword.
Yes, and Satan's at the bottom of the Colosseum at the 18th level. I would assume the 18th floor, and you have to find your way down there to rid Rome of Satan and lead them the correct way in life.
Yeah, man. But look, even Dante didn't have to go down 18 levels of hell to this is just ridiculous.
It's pretty gnarly. It's silly, but it's funny when you see it like a weird blend of silliness meet hard work, like unintentional silliness meeting hard work. Always makes for something like kind of okay.
Yeah, that's what makes this,
or cult.
That's what makes this experience great, that you know it's funny because they clearly putting the effort and that they were 100% going for a serious game, and it they just missed the mark so hard that it's kind of amazing.
Well, let's talk about the graphics and audio then. So I think if you were to place this game visually, somewhere between N64 and PlayStation 2, probably.
Yeah, I will say visually, it's like 96, 97, but this game actually came out in 2000. So it was aged like really bad by the time it came out.
It came out right after Half-Life, which is bad news because at that point they built first-person narratives and like deep story. And now you just have a guy pushing, shooting guys who are talking about how much the food the garrison gives them gas and shooting them into prayer and then pushing a barrel and jumping over to shoot a bat when you just had like the masterpiece that Half-Life was a year prior. And so I think the graphics are actually for its time. It's okay. It's passable is the word I'd use.
Yeah. So the graphics themselves, they're pretty aged, but at least the design of the stages itself, how they look, you can clearly tell what everything is. It's like there's no question. This is Rome. You know, they do have some kind of cool textures. You know, they got Roman statues and that kind of thing. So the maps themselves, I think they did a good job for what they were going for. It's clear. It's crystal clear, like the setting. So at least I got to give them that. But the actual graphics themselves, it's like a Quake mod.
It sucks too, cause this game's super dark. Like, and I don't mean, it does get like a tonal, like instance of a tonal shift. I think it gets a little freaky, like unintentionally, but the game is so dark and there's no like flashlight or torch. And there's a lot of areas in it that are just hard to see where you have to just shoot into darkness to see if you can jump there or what's if it's a corner or if it's a barrel. And so that also gave me a lot of Quakeism playing through a lot of the caverns, because 75% of the game is just like you're in some kind of dungeon, you know, and then sometimes you're underwater. At one point, you're outside in the Colosseum shooting lions, and eventually you end up at like fighting Satan himself in like a hellish last level. But it's such a, the game like goes from being like silly to almost kind of scary. Like I thought that they went a little too hard in the paint with the demons in the sense of like the sound work, because they did actually were playing things backwards, like voices backwards and stuff. And you don't even see that when the introduction of the demon just appears, like the first ones are small, and it actually scared me. I was like, oh God. And then, you know, they're making weird noises. They're not, you went from goofy, like, ugh, the beans in the garrison are giving me gas, to like, blah, 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 Satan will kill you. And I was like, woof, that's a very pronounced shift. And so I think I give them credit for that. It actually is kind of creepy. I don't think they meant it to be. And for a game that was trying to not be violent and not have, or not like affect people in any kind of negative way, they really leaned into like what Christians, you know, the Christian communities back then, or at least like the radical Christians maybe back then, thought of like demons in like, no, the voice has got to be backwards. We got to play Led Zeppelin backwards. And like, there's like sections in the game where the music changes. Like some rooms just have like really dark droning music. And some areas have like rock and roll, like techno, yeah. Like yes. What?
Some have like bumping like techno music. Then others have like guitar riff heavy like metal. And I'm like, okay. And the thing is, it's funny because clearly there's a trigger that to start the music. So, for example, in the Roman Colosseum, the door opens and you hear the lion roar and the music just starts like bumping. But if you wait and the door closes, everything just suddenly stops. And then if you open the door again, the whole thing loops again from the beginning. So
that's so funny.
Yeah, it was
like that's well written comedy that's accidentally written by this game.
Yeah, so I saw like the lion. I'm like, holy crap! So I started walking backwards and shooting because that's how you fight in this game. And the door closed between us, and then radio silence. And I'm like, did I get him? What the hell? What just happened?
There's no more music. No more lion roars. And then you open it up and it just probably starts really aggressively again.
Yeah, no.
That's just classic slapstick right there. I know they didn't mean to do that, but that's just the signs of like amateur developers.
Yeah. Oh, the funny thing is like I was reading like the team who made this, the actual people who programmed the game were like Trilobite, who made The Seventh Guest and The 11th Hour.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so they are... At the time, there were so you know, at the advent of like CD-ROM, these guys were like top of the line, you know, so they fell pretty hard.
No kidding. But then again, a church comes at you with that budget around 1999, and you're like, yeah, we'll make whatever game you want.
Yeah, they got like $800,000, and
yes.
then hey, we got this $70,000 budget to make a game. Can you do that and make it happen? They're like,
all right, see you guys later. And he just smashes out on a Maserati wearing a fur coat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the graphics and audio, I think, kind of add to the atmosphere. The gameplay itself, it's all really funny, but also kind of creeps me out a little bit in some areas. But it's for the most part, it's funny and amateur with a little bit of heart. And the, you know, like the graphics are okay. The voice work is atrocious. I think that's an area that they literally had probably two people, maybe one person did all the voices. I need to look at the credits. I would not be surprised.
And it's not like, you know, they probably recorded it. You remember those compact computers that had that really crappy, like, white boom mic? That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't equalized or compressed or anything. The audio is just like this muffled, like audio without any kind of editing. And then they didn't mix it with the music either. So you just hear this.
I know. This everything is different volumes. Like when you kill somebody, I should say kill, but when you cleanse a human, It's so loud. It's like louder than everything else that screams out hallelujah. I'm like, Jesus. It was just nuts. It's sloppy.
Yeah, no, it's clearly not professional. It just isn't. Again, this sounds like this is like someone decided, hey, I want to make a Christian Quake mod and then add my own voiceover over it. That's kind of what it sounds like. That budget, I don't think, actually went into the game.
I just feel there's somewhere along the line in development of this game, there is some money being laundered. There's no way that there isn't.
No, the amazing thing is, like, this game actually got a successor. They made a second game.
They made a second one. I saw that. I don't know anything about it, but I did see that.
Yeah,
trivia.
Not a hint for someone to put it on the...
Too late now.
It's out there. This game actually has a successor. Something about Paladins. I don't remember the name. I'm not going to look it up.
That's either. What it's called. Something about Paladins.
You're right.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I think since you played it more than me, then I want to hear your final verdict on Catechumen.
There's a lot of parallels with Eastern Minds, the Islands of Tongno, in terms of just getting this game to run in modern hardware. It's not worth the headache. I put in almost as much time to getting this game to run as I put to actually playing it. And even though it's hilarious, because it really is, it does overstay its welcome by stage 6. The charm, like, goes away at that point because the game is positively brutal on top of, like, I don't know if it played better in Arena hardware, but it's just, you kill one enemy, then you quick save. If you die, you quick load. It's just that. So, same as I said last time, go to YouTube and look at a playthrough so you'll be able to appreciate the opening movie, the Arnold Angel, the hallelujah sounds and all that. So you'll be able to see all of it and get a chuckle out of it, but it's just not worth it. You're not going to enjoy it enough to merit going through all the jumping through all the hoops to actually get this running. So pretty much I say watch a YouTube playthrough, and that's pretty much the best advice I can give. It's not worth.
And it's free, by the way, like legally free. So that is not a swimming recommendation from Van Fernal. I feel that this game is a prime candidate for a limited runs release.
Or Night Dive Studios, man.
Yeah, if you can just tune a little bit of the quality of life adjustments in it, it's funny. And it's like, some people love old school boomer shooters and first person shooters. This game has all of that, except it has this weird layer of simplicity and like heavy. The problem is that it wants to be edgy while playing it safe. It wants to have a message, but it's very heavy handed with that message. And I think it misses the mark and everything it aimed at.
Yeah.
But it still has its own charm for some reason, because it's so silly.
And the sad part is, like, I made it to stage 6. I genuinely wanted to see how it goes because I found every stage was different enough with a different gimmick that, you know, there was variety to it. But the amount of tedium, the memory leak, every time, like, the frame rate was constantly dropping to the teens, you know. So even if you want to give it a try, unless you're one of those people who just kind of has old computers to play like classic games, I don't think it's not worth it.
Yeah, watch a video. And I don't know where the $800,000 budget went, but it certainly wasn't on the voice actors. So I give it an official D. It's not an F because it is pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
at least the first 10 minutes is worth its free admission, and even more free if you would just watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, no, it's you will get a chuckle out of this. So at least, like, watch the YouTube, like, the opening movie and all that. You will lie. Like, I laughed out loud. I rarely do that.
I did too. I really did. Like, I cackled.
And I had to call my wife and tell her, you know, hey, like, check this out. And Mrs.
B, like, I told Julia immediately. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, you won't believe this.
She was like, this is amazing. And I'm like, I know.
It's good. All right, it's that time. And now it's a part of the new... I've been doing this for a little bit now. I don't know, the word escapes me. It's a tradition now. New tradition for the guest to now spin the wheel of retro. So I sent you a link. You have that?
Yes, sir. I have it right here.
All right, give her a rip and let's know.
Okay. So, this game, let's see what you are supposed to play, good sir.
I don't know yet.
So, this game is a side-scrolling platformer.
Okay.
Released in 1992 for MS-DOS.
Oh, crap.
And developed by Epic Mega Games. And the name of this game is...
Oh, man.
Jill of the Jungle.
Jill of the Jungle? Okay. Looks like we're on a heater here with these games lately.
Designed by Tim Sweeney himself.
Oh, well, that's the game, Jill of the Jungle. I think Ranker has put that in. So I don't know anything about this. I'm assuming it's going to be another meme game, but you never know. Never know. So next week, join Super Garbage Day Incorporated as we play Jill of the Jungle, a 1992 DOS platformer. What could possibly go wrong? Van Fernal, my friend, my amigo, will you please let everybody know what's been going on in your life? And if you, maybe not like deep stuff, but you know, let the people know where they can find your media, your content. And if you're going to be doing anything in the future, feel free to drop it.
All right. So, I have a little YouTube channel called Van Fernal's Retro Stream, where I stream retro games, mostly from the 128-bit generation and back. I'm currently taking a little break because I've been streaming 3 times a week for the last 15 months, and I'm kind of feeling the burnout, you know, but I am focusing on some long-form content and some reviews I wanted to make, so I'm actually keeping myself busy at the time. Also, if you want to look me up on Instagram, it's retro.stream. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me if you want to contact me, make game suggestions that you would like to see streaming and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so pretty much we have a lot of fun on my stream. It's a very tight-knit community. We have a lot of regulars, really cool people. So feel free to drop by. And if you like it, just, you know, subscribe and join the community.
It's really high quality too, everybody. Like, honestly, it's some of the best, top-notch quality you can get for streaming and content creation. So check him out. I'm going to have all those links that he just said about his stuff is going to be in the show notes. So if you're interested, all you got to do is scroll down and click the link. So, well, thank you, Mr. Fernal, Mr. The Tango Master himself. Waltz. Sorry, Waltz. I said Tango last time. It's Waltzes.
Yeah, waltzes are my jam. Apparently, thank you for pointing that out in my life, that I have a natural tendency to identify a waltz. Thank you for letting me know I have another useless talent that has no real, like, practical use in the actual world.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for coming in. I'll pull you in again, I guess, when I find another weird game. But to be honest, it could be a good game. Who knows? But thank you for coming on the show. And as usual, everybody, check us out on Super Garbage Day podcast. You can just search that literally in any search engine or even in any podcast app. That's where you can find us. Check us out. That's it. We'll see you next week. Cut to B.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.